Thank you, Chuck, and thank you, Circle of Praise. And more information is coming because we're going to have a celebration on June 25th as we celebrate Reverend Keyworth's ministry and Della's presence amongst us. Our scripture this morning is taken from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 8, 12, 14 through 18. And you can follow along with me as I read the scripture this morning. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language?" All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy." This is the word of God for the people of God. This morning we're looking at Acts chapter 2, where it tells of how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the early church, and we're going to be talking about how God wants to pour the Spirit out on you and on me. You know, sometimes Pentecost gets lost, and I was talking with Reverend Keyworth earlier this morning that it fell during conference, and this is not Pentecost Day. Pentecost Day is on graduation Sunday, but I wanted to bring this message about the Holy Spirit and what God did. But I want to do, I have a little quiz with you here this morning. And I want to ask you some questions and see how much you know. What major holiday does Pentecost follow? Christmas, New Year's, or Easter? Very good. This one's a little tougher. You got to kind of dig in the scripture. But how many days after Jesus rose to heaven did the disciples gather for Pentecost? 10. Okay. While everyone was gathered in the upper room, what did they hear? Gurgling water, fire crackling, rushing wind, children laughing. Okay, very good. They might have heard a little bit of the fire too there, the tongues of fire. But when the Holy Spirit fell on them, what happened? They ate like pigs. They fell into a deep sleep. They began to cry, or they could speak in other languages. Okay, you all are Pentecostal experts here this morning. Who stood up to speak to the crowd gathered? James, Matthew, Peter, or Thomas? All right, we just heard that in the scripture. Well, Pentecost is very, very important because it was the kickoff of the church. Joel had prophesied that God would pour out his Spirit in the last days. Jesus on the earth had accomplished all that God had given him to do. And then Jesus began telling them, "I'm going to leave you, but I will not leave you as orphans, but I'm going to send the Holy Spirit upon you." You see, the disciples were really anxious about how they were going to carry on without their leader. You know, sometimes we have that same experience. If a dear friend leads, if a community leader goes, if a pastor is leaving, if a beloved Sunday school teacher is gone, we wonder, how are we going to do this? How are we going to carry on? But the message of Pentecost is that when someone leaves, when Jesus left, the Spirit came out upon people and allowed more people to accomplish God's work. after Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was so real to the disciples that it was like Jesus was there. The Spirit spoke to them. The Spirit taught them. The Spirit comforted them, guided them, healed them, and allowed them to preach with boldness. And here is the blessing. Christ is right here with us today through the Holy Spirit. We've got to see this. We've got to believe this. Let me illustrate to you. There's many ways you could talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit, but when our son moved to California, one of the comforts I found in having him so far away was that we could text and instant messages. Now, I know there's all the talk about misuse of texts and so on and so forth, and there is. But I want to tell you, as far as my kids go and special friends, it's so wonderful when they're a distance to have a text and to have a message from them. I want you to know that it feels like when I get a text from them, like they're right with me. And, you know, we have the Scripture. The words of Christ are texts that we can receive a message from of every day. After Jesus died and rose to heaven, the disciples even saw him at times. And they had FaceTime with him, if you would will. And friends, I want you to know that through the Spirit, we can feel the presence of Christ so much that it's like he's really here. It's like we're having FaceTime too. Well, there's a great need for modern day Christians to learn how to connect to the Holy Spirit more like what the disciples experience in Acts. I know that we often don't understand the Spirit, but we must come to know more about him and we must allow him to work in us. We've got to see that without Christ's Holy Spirit, we're weak. We lack understanding, and the Christian life becomes our own self-effort, and it leaves us so dissatisfied. But God wants to fill us with his presence and his power like nothing we have ever known. Friends, the early church lived out of this power, and God wants to do the same with us. Let me ask you this morning, do you believe it is possible to have the very presence of God living in you, guiding you, teaching you, comforting you, and giving you power? I think we believe that, but often our faith is low. We need to claim again that the Spirit that was poured out on Pentecost is there for us. That will grow our faith. In Acts chapter 2 is the promise, verse 17 and 18. It says, in the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit. In the last days, that's when our time is. I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men and your old men shall see visions and dreams. This is the promise, and it's here for us. We just have to lay hold of it. And so God's plan is that we rely on the Spirit's power. It was never God's intention for us to live the Christian life on our own strength. But you know, we're tempted to do that every day, aren't we? We get up without talking to God. We try to conquer our problems on our own. And we find ourselves discouraged. And we try to snap out of it with our own strength. But it just is not working. And we can become miserable. God wants us to rely on the Spirit for the love, the joy, and the peace. And for him to give us the hope and strength that we need. And I got to tell you, I don't always do that. And I'm still growing in that. We need to learn to depend on him, Christ, and the Spirit. Let me give you another example of how we can think about the Holy Spirit. There's many, many, many examples. From time to time, I have something heavy that I've got to move. And my kids are gone, and I don't always want to burden my wife. But I have this platform that I built. It was actually wood that we used for a prop here. But I built a platform to go on our front porch to hold our nativity set. And it's really heavy. and it's cumbersome. So, you know, I lift that thing up and I kind of slide it down the steps and I'm kind of pulling and dragging. And it's a lot of work. But if somebody else comes alongside me and helps me, it goes smooth. And it goes easy. And that's kind of the way it is with the Spirit. We don't stop working, but the Spirit comes alongside of us and helps lift those things that are so heavy. And we say, wow, this is really great. On one occasion, I had something really heavy, and I had a young, strong guy, and he was lifting weights. And I said, help me lift this up. And he said, Pastor, you just stand back. He said, I'll pick it up. I said, no, I can help. He said, no, you just stand back. He picked this thing up, and he just carried it right on. That's like the Holy Spirit, too. Sometimes the Spirit does it all, and we don't even have to do anything. Do you believe that? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. They didn't send out 10,000 cards, and I'm not saying 10,000 cards are bad, but they didn't do all this publicity and everything. God sent a huge crowd to come and hear the message. And so the Holy Spirit is able to do some things that we don't even do ourselves. I've seen the Holy Spirit move in that way. I've seen God provide, God open doors, God make changes without any effort of myself or others. Well, let's keep going on, see how God worked in sending the Spirit. In Acts 1:4-8, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait there for the promise of the Father. For you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. So the disciples knew to wait meant to pray. So they gathered in an upper room and they waited on the Lord. Isaiah says that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. And so, friends, the secret to experiencing the Holy Spirit is we must spend time waiting on God in prayer. If you're like me, I don't like to wait. Look at my watch. Oop, yep, got to get this thing going. I want things to happen in a moment, and so do you. Because we live in a world, push button, turn the key, lights on, action, boom, boom, boom. We're so used to that. But God has designed things in this world that we have to wait. It takes time for a seed to germinate. It takes time to build a factory, to get a new company set up. It takes time for a child to live and learn and grow and become fully developed. It takes time for God to complete the work in my life and your life. There's a little button out there. Please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. And God's not finished with any of us yet. So they spent 50 days praying in the upper room before the Spirit came. How many churches would be willing to have a prayer vigil that would last for 50 days? Where people would pray day and night for something to happen. But that's what the early 120 believers did. But the price was worth it. Because in one day, God brought thousands of people to believe in Christ, 3,000 and more happening every day, and they were transformed. And then these same people took the gospel back to their cities and communities, and the church just exploded globally because they were willing to watch and wait and pray. We need to believe that God works through the prayers of humble servants. God has been pouring out the Spirit throughout the ages. There's many examples in history of how God moved all over the world. And we don't have to look very far because it happened in this Methodist movement. John and Charles, I was thinking about this today, Chuck. Charles and John, I don't know, I just came to my mind. But John and Charles, back in those days, they were in a holy club, it was called. They were praying, and they were just praying, and they were praying for years that God would move and do something, and they saw some things happen, but not enough. And all of a sudden, on this day, May 21st, Charles was very sick. And he drew near to God and he received an assurance that Christ was his Savior and Lord, that he was forgiven and he was empowered. And then he started praying for John. And 3 days later, on May 24th, John Wesley also had his heartwarming experience in Aldersgate Street in London. And today is Heritage Sunday. It's not Pentecost Sunday, but it's Heritage Sunday, where we remember Charles, and John, and we can't forget Charles either. And from those two and others, they started preaching to 5,000, to 10,000, to 15,000 people. Now, you got to understand, this was not happening in that day. People just didn't do that in those numbers. And they'd get up at 5 or 6 in the morning. And it was a Pentecostal outpouring. You all thought we were Methodists, didn't you? We are, but we're also Pentecostal because we believe what God can do. And in every age, God is pouring out the Holy Spirit. I studied this in seminary, and in 1907 in Pyongyang, which is in North Korea, missionaries had taught, United Methodist missionaries, Presbyterian missionaries had taught Koreans about the gospel and about prayer. And there was a lot of suffering in Korea from other nations. And they started to pray. And they started to meet early in the morning. And they had so many prayers that they decided they were all going to pray at once because they couldn't get through all the prayer requests. And this prayer revival, this Pentecost outpouring, resulted in thousands of churches springing up with early prayer meetings all over the country. And I know Reverend Yum knows this far better than I. But they grew and they grew and they grew and they grew and they grew. And so the largest Methodist church in the world is Kwong Lim in Seoul, with 50 to 60, maybe 70 or 80,000 or more. And the largest church in history, its membership in 2007, Yoido Full Gospel, was listed with 830,000 people. We don't know these things, but this is God's outpouring of the Spirit. And God has used the Korean church, and we are blessed to have a Korean pastor from Korea. We have a superintendent from Korea. But God is using the Korean church to work in the world, to share what God has done. And now I read that Korea is sending more missionaries than the U.S., and in a few weeks, I'll be going to our Baltic Seminary in Estonia. And the first big gift there that started the whole thing rolling, about a $2 million-plus project, was $1 million from that church right there, Kwong Lim. It wouldn't be there. But you know what? We need to pray for that area, because Kim Il-jung is a threat to put the whole region into destructive war, and we need to show our gratitude, and we need to pray for them. I read the other day that 10 million North Koreans could starve to death. But God is bringing a renewal. He did then, and he is today. And sometimes this seems unbelievable to us. We think, well, this is abnormal. This is bizarre. Can't even understand it. But I think it's the normal Christian life. It's us that need to change. If you're like me, most of the time I'm satisfied with a 1 or 2 minute prayer. But God wants us to spend more time inviting the Holy Spirit to come. I think somebody came up with the idea of breath prayers. Breathe out, breathe in. In prayer, breathe out, breathe in. Breathe out, God, I need you. Breathe in, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Breathe out, God, take my fear. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. Breathe out, God, heal my family. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. God, bless our church. Fill us with the Holy Spirit. the intimacy with Christ and the Spirit is so great. It can be like breathing, and we can breathe in the Spirit. You can do that this week. Well, next, the Holy Spirit was poured out, third, as Jesus promised. Now, we want to just take a moment with you and reflect on what was really going on here in Acts chapter 2. Again, 120 folks have been praying for many days, and all of a sudden, this wind begins to blow. And you know what? I think we think, oh, you know, wind blowing. But you know, there's wind and there's wind. I was driving down the road on Thursday on Route 75, and the wind was so strong, it was bringing the dust up off the fields, and the road was getting brown before my eyes. And there's a kind of wind that just kind of, well, we don't have that here, I guess. Turn this on for me, Kevin, could you? We'll try to get a wind going here. Could you turn this on? Okay. Okay, we're still not on. All right. Well, we'll get the wind going somehow. But you know what I mean. The wind's just blowing hard and shaking things. And it's violent. Well, people began to notice that. And they started to gather round. And then they saw flames of fire. I don't know how big they were, tongues of fire. They must have had open porticos. And then as they get closer, they hear the message of salvation. But people are speaking in their tongue. These Galileans, how do they know my African dialect? How do they know Egyptian, Greek, and many other languages? What in the world is going on here, they ask. So God has pulled them in. Thousands of people gathered around. Peter stands up and he sees an opportunity. And he preaches the good news. And he says, friends, this city turned against God's own son and put him to death. But through his death, he paid for your sins and he forgives you. And in a moment, 3,000 people believed and also were filled with the Spirit. But you know, it wasn't just a big one-night revival like on the Sawdust Trail. This outpouring continued day after day. People are going up to the temple for teaching and prayer daily. And they were meeting in homes in small groups. And it appears it wasn't just a few. It was everybody was meeting in groups in homes. And the scripture says every day people were believing. It's grabbed the attention of the whole city and the thousands gathered for the Pentecost revival. But not only that, they're feeding the hungry, they're sharing their clothing, they're giving the homeless a place to stay. And the Bible says a remarkable thing. Because of the Holy Spirit, everyone had their needs met, and everyone was amazed. Wouldn't it be great to have even just a little bit of that going on in the church? But you know what? The amazing thing to me is this is the vision that we have dreamed. Our vision statement is we want everyone to know, love, and share Christ. That's what the disciples were doing. And our dream is to get this fall as many people as we can in small groups for fellowship, study, prayer, and outreach. Our dream is to get out into this community more directly impacting people. And our dream and vision is to do worship that draws everyone in to be ministered to. Well, somebody says, well, Pastor, that's more than we could reasonably expect. You know, that thing that happened back there was a once and done thing. Well, that's what a lot of people think in the Christian church around the world. But friends, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit continued every day in Jerusalem for years and decades. And that same Spirit has been touching groups and lives with power through the centuries. I've noticed over the years that often people get caught in theological differences about gifts of the Spirit, about how the Spirit comes, and about how God works, and all these things. you know what? I've come to a place and I've heard every argument for how you receive the Spirit, when, how, what evidence it shows. I say to you, I don't think God cares as much about the steps as he does about an open heart. Just be filled. Ask the Spirit to fill you today. Ask the Spirit to fill you tomorrow. I have never met a Spirit-filled Christian who didn't need more oil. I invited the Holy Spirit to fill my life when I was in college, and God did. He empowered me and used me in many ways. But I can tell you today, I still need to pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, fill me. Let me ask you this morning, is your Christian life feeling dry? Are there burdens that are eating up your heart and soul? Do you feel inadequate? Do you feel like you're not much of a witness? When the Spirit comes, he will lift your burdens. He will energize you, give you peace and joy. You'll be a light for Christ. You'll be led. All we need to do is invite the Holy Spirit into our lives, into this service. As the song says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I want to close in a prayer, and I want you to repeat the prayer after me. And we're going to pray for God's Spirit. And if you don't know how to pray, there's a prayer, the unison prayer here is a powerful prayer. You can pray that. But you just simply breathe out, breathe in. You tell God what you need, you invite the Spirit to come in. And of course, the Spirit is Jesus Christ. But I want us to bow our heads now and close our eyes. And I want you to pray this prayer with me. Holy Spirit, we often feel empty. We have tried and tried, but it does not work. We need you. Come and fill us. Heal my heart. Give me hope. Take my burdens. Accomplish your purposes in my life. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill me with joy, peace, and love. Fill me, Holy Spirit, that I might know Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. Fill me, Holy Spirit. Amen. We're going to close with the last song, Every Time I Feel the Spirit.
Friends, I invite you to stand as you are able and turn to 404. And whether you know it or not, it is okay to smile and have fun in church. So I would encourage you to do so as we sing together.
Shine.
So much. There you have a song. It goes through your head. Every time I feel the Spirit, I will pray. Lord, we ask that you would bless us, help us to breathe in, to breathe out, and to depend on you, O God, and to believe that you are greater than all the challenges we face, and you desire to dwell in us through power because of what Jesus has done. And we love you, Lord, and we thank you, and we ask your blessing upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.